Shalom Aleichem, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Chayesara, Shabbos Mevarchim, Shetaka Biyagabench to Shabbos. The first part of the Parsha talks about Chevron and Kvura, and the second part of the Parsha talks about Eliezer and Shiduchim, the cycle of a person's life. I'd like to talk a little about the city of Chevron, the place where our Avis are buried, a place which is simultaneously a Beis HaKfaris of great people, a sad place, and also a great place, the place where the Avis chose to be buried. What's strange about the city of Chevron is that throughout Tanakh there are contradictory comments regarding Chevron, and I've collected some of them. In Parshas Vayeshev, it says, Ve'yishalcheu me'emek Chevron. The pasuk refers to Chevron as a valley. Was it truly a valley? It wasn't a valley. It says in Parashat Shelach Vayalu Banegev, and the Gemara in Saita deals with the problem. Rashi deals with the problem. The Gemara pasuk says in Yeshua, He Chevron Bahar Yehuda. So there's a contradiction if Chevron was in a valley or Chevron was in a mountain. And I know this is a question which is dealt with. There are other contradictions. Where was Chevron? On the one hand, it was in the chelek of Kalev. The pasuk tells us that Kalev chose Chevron. On the other hand, and it says so in the pasuk, in Perek Yud of, in Yeshua Perek Tesvav. On the other hand, it was one of the Ari Miklat. So again, we have a stira regarding this city. And again, the Gemara actually points it out in Makas Daf Yud. My point is not to answer the question, but to make the point consistently that there seem to be contradictions in our Messiah regarding the city of Chevron. Who conquered the city of Chevron? Very confusing. In Yeshua Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, it says clearly that Yeshua conquered the city. He conquered it and destroyed the inhabitants. Yet, in Perek Tezbah, Pasuk Gimel, we find that Kalev is the one that conquered the city of Chevron. Similarly, who killed the Melech of Chevron? In Perek Yud of Yeshua, Pasuk Chavav, we find that the king of Chevron was killed. But later, in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayakua Lefi Cherev Ve'ez Malka, he seems to be killed later, the Mitzudis and the Radak. Ask this stira, again, a stira in the Psukim. And even Kalev's conquering of the city, there seems to be a stira. In Yeshua Perek Tezvav, we find Kalev conquering the city of Chevron. In Shaftim Perek Al Pasig Yud, again we find Kalev conquering the city, and to the degree that the Rashi and the Barbanel, they argue on what the Kavana of the Pasig is. So again, we have a contradiction in our Messiah regarding the city of Chevron. Another thing, in Yeshua Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says that Yeshua veYichreis es Anokim min Ahar min Chevron, Meinoiser Anokim Ba'aretz. It says that the giants were killed. Those who were the Chevron were all killed in Perek Yud Aleph of Yeshua. However, in we find later in Shaftim Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf that Kalev Vayirish Misham Eshloishes Bnei Anok, and that Barbanel asked the Kasha, what's going on? So there are many contradictions regarding the city of Chevron. Even the name Kiryas Arba, which we find in the beginning of the parasha, it denotes opposite things. Kiryas Arba, why is it called Arba? Four giants that were there. Also, four Zugais that were buried there. The giants are the Spitz Tumma, and the Zugais are Spitz Tahara. It's interesting that in the description of Chevron we find two ideas, separate ideas, as the way it's described. We have a Kabbalah from our in our Messiah that everything has two faces, and befrat Eretz Yisrael. There's a Panim Hachitzaini and a Panim Hapnimi. We all know about Yerushalayim, that is Yerushalayim Shalmata, the Gashmistik Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Shalmaila, spiritual Yerushalayim. But the Beis HaMikdash, we know the Beis HaMikdash is Chanukas Abayis LeDavid, David's Beis HaMikdash, and on the other hand, it's Shlaima's Beis HaMikdash. Everything has two. Rapam used to say about Kibbut Aveim, this Kibbut Aveim Chitzayni, like Esav did. He brought his father food. And this Kibbut Aveim Pnimi, there's a Ruchniastik of Kibbut Aveim, like Yaakov Avinu, who sat and learned, which is a bigger covet to a father. To have a son as a master in learning, or to have a son as Mishamishim. Everything has a Pnimi and a Chitzayni, has two faces to it. Rabbi Yaakov, in the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, similarly says that everything a person does has Pshat and Drush. When you do something, when you interact with someone else, there's the Pshat in what you did, and there's the deeper Havan in what you did. Rav Hutner and Pachad Yitzchak, on Pesach, Maimon and Beis, Eis Kimmel says the same thing. That there are two parts. The idea being this, that really, in everything a person does, in every place a person goes, there are two faces to it. There are two parts to it. Sometimes it's Gashmias and Ruchnias. Sometimes it's something ordinary and something meaningful. But everything has the potential. There's nothing in your life that doesn't have potential to be elevated. Chevron is one of the holiest cities we have. It's one of the four holy cities of Eretz Yisrael, traditionally, Yerushalayim, Chevron, Tveria, and Tzfas were the four holy cities of Eretz Yisrael. Chevron alone is barely populated throughout this Golus. And yet, Chevron is a place of great Kedusha. The understanding that when it comes to Chevron, there are two faces. And it's a lesson for everything we do. There are two faces. There are people go to Yerushalayim and they see the Gashmias of Yerushalayim. People go and they see the Ruchnias of Yerushalayim. Chevron, more than any other place, has two extremes. It's a place of burial, a place where life came to an end for the greatest Jews that ever lived. And it's also the place, the Maki Menucha, the place where the greatest Jews that ever lived, where they rest, where Kalev went to Davin. Depends what you want to see. Someone asked me that he was listening to Laining till Shani, the Monday and Thursday Laining, and he keeps on saying Shemu'uni. Everyone's saying Shemu'uni or Shimuli. We have first that the Ephraim say Shemu'uni, and then Avram says it, and then Ephraim says it, and then Avram says it again, I think five times. It's funny that you use this language all these times. The answer is Shemu'uni. Upigoli Ephraim. Shemu'uni, listen to me. It doesn't mean listen to my words. Words have their simple meaning, and words have their deeper meaning. The Pnimi and the Chitzani have words. The whole interaction in Chevron, in the beginning of the parasha, is all a play on words. When Ephraim says, I'll give it to you for free, Shemuel, listen to me. Listen to what I'm really saying. I'm not saying I'll give it to you for free. I'm saying you want a fair price? I won't discuss a price with you. That's what I'm saying. So at the end, right before Shani, says, Vayishma Avram, Vayishkolai. Avram heard. He heard. He understood what was going on. He knew the depth of what was meant. The point being is you got to listen. You got to listen. Everything. Everything around you talks to you in two ways. In the Eifan HaChitzayini, in the simple way you could look at it and listen to it, and the Eifan HaPnimi. When people you care about talk to you, you have to hear what they're really saying. When things around you take place, you have to notice, is it a moment of opportunity? Everything has two faces. And Chevron, the mysterious city of Chevron, more than anything else. And that's why we find two aspects of Chevron all over the place. Let's move on to the Shidduch, the sending of Eliezer, and the incredible length to which Avram goes to guarantee that Eliezer's instructions are precise, he knows what to do, and it'll carry them out. The kasha is, Rav Druk in his Darish Mordechai asks, that it's so strange that Avram should go through such a lengthy list of instructions. We know when he returned from the Akedah Bisra, Sheol da Rivka. We find at the end of the last week's parasha that he heard that Rivka was born. He understood that Rivka was for Yitzchak. He understood Baruch HaKadosh. So, okay, he was mishtadl, he did his ishtadlus. But why at such length with such arichus? Rav Juk brings in the name of the Sfasemis and the Darash Mardechai that even if a person has the schus to see true Ruach HaKadosh, he still has to be very careful in how he uses it. It's a sakana lehishtamish by. And he gives an example. Kairach knew Baruch HaKadosh that a shalshelas of greatness will come out of him. What was that message? He knew Baruch HaKadosh, but therefore what? He understood, therefore he should vie for the leadership role in Klal Yisrael. But that destroyed him. But it all came from Baruch HaKadosh. Yeah. Even when a person is zechet to Baruch HaKadosh, you have to be careful. Avraham knew something, Baruch HaKadosh. But you got to be careful. You have to do tamim tiyem Hashem alakecha. You have to do your job. Today, people look for signs from heaven. People look to go to the so-called mekubalim who are trained to speak in fuzzy words that you can understand whichever way you like. Be very, very careful. Remember, Eliezer went and he saw with his own eyes a miracle. The water came up towards Rivka. Does that mean suddenly it's Rivka? Don't test her. The water came up to her. Eliezer understood that from school this you don't paskin. And he was right. Because later in Parsha Shemais, we find someone else for whom the waters miraculously rise. And that's Parai. The Nilus waters would come up towards him. Same as Rivka. But Parai was even more miraculous. It happened all the time. What's the message of the Ruchnius? Be careful. Don't decide. Tamim tiyem, Hashem alakach. Do what you got to do. Do what you have to do. Bear in back of your mind the simonim that you have or the or bracha that you have. But you got to do? Do what you got to do. The message being that it's not always that what you perceive as God talking to you is what God is saying to you. Be very, very careful. And with these two wonderful thoughts, thoughts that have to do with a person not rushing and jumping to conclusions, but seeing things calmly, patiently, looking into them, his bainanus and understanding of the things, words you hear around you, and everything that takes place around you. With that message, we prepare for the Chodesh Kislev, Bezras Hashem, we prepare to march towards Hanukkah, to be ready, to be people ready, to be mekabel, the light of Hanukkah, the aura of Hanukkah, which Bezras Hashem will bring us to a closeness to the Oireis of Avodas Hashem. Wishing one and all a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful benching Rish Chodesh Kislev. Don't forget to announce the Meilid Yerushalayim time. A guten Shabbos to one and all.